COVID-19 may have dealt corporate SA an additional blow, but many of these companies had already been battling against a low-growth environment locally and, in an attempt to escape this over the past decade, decided to go global. It hasn't entirely paid off to the extent they hoped it would, though. In fact, it's brought with it value destruction instead. Anchor Capital CEO Peter Armitage joins me now. Thanks so much, Peter, for your time this evening. So they say hindsight is a perfect science. So while you bemoan SA companies' offshore forays, surely you've got to accept some of the merit in diversifying away from SA risk.
Yeah, absolutely. And it hasn't been a disaster in every respect, but there's been one major success, which is NASPAS, which kind of makes up for everything else. But at the same time, if you go through, you know, we came up with a list of about 20, and there's probably another 20 more of companies who've taken money overseas. And they've attempted to diversify and just not got it right for lots of different reasons.
Yeah. Could strategies have not played out either way, though? You know, 50-50% chance of success or failure. What exactly are these companies doing wrong that they should be safeguarding against in the first place?
I think we identified a few things. I think, first of all, foreign territories are different. So assuming that you can make it in SA and make it offshore are two different things. Companies then tend to often send their B team from an experience point of view. So the team that's made it work here is not the same team as that they send overseas. SA companies tend to pay up. You know, typically, if things were, you know, local bidders would pick up assets if the prices were right and if the businesses were reasonable. And second of all, I think, you know, they've been lured by low interest rates. So if you do the maths and, you know, you can borrow money at 1 or 2%, you perhaps get overambitious in terms of what you're going to buy and how much you're going to pay.
So with success in the offshore arena, Peter, more so an exception than anything else, how much has it cost shareholders when it comes to offshore ventures gone wrong?
Well, we just, the kind of 20 companies that we identified, we tried to estimate what their share prices would be if they'd gone overseas or not gone at all. So I think Sasol is your classic one. Mm-hmm. You know, we think the share price would probably be around 350 to 400 Rand if they've never set a foot in America, but it's sitting at between 130 and 150. You know, so that by itself is about 140 billion Rand of value. And we can easily come up with about another 150 billion. I think Woolworths is a good example. Fantastic South African business, great management team. But they spent 20 billion Rand on David Jones in Australia. And some would argue that business is close to worthless at the moment.
Do you see companies changing their behavior now as we venture forward and more successfully being able to, I guess, avoid and evade the low interest rate environment allure?
Yeah, I think behavior will change a lot over the course of the next 3 years. With one of the key reasons being that South African companies are typically, their balance sheets are quite stressed. So their capacity to do it, irrespective of what the interest rates are, is becoming a lot more limited. And second of all, they're going to be a lot more guarded. But, you know, measuring it up, SA is in a low-growth environment, and you know, companies are in a quandary because investing money in new capacity in South Africa is probably not a default kind of action at the moment.
Does South Africa's lower interest rate environment start getting them to look more local if they, of course, have the balance sheets to support that kind of growth?
Money's become a lot cheaper in South Africa. Interest rates cuts again another 25 basis points today. So if guys can find reasonable investments, it's a lot more attractive to do so. The cost of funding is lower. But I think the investment, certainly over the next 6 to 12 months, is going to be more about good quality companies picking up beleaguered smaller companies. You know, Fashini Group with the jet chain stores is a good example. So the investment, I think, is more going to be in buying capacity that others have had, that they haven't made money out of, in the belief that they can run those businesses more profitably, with a starting balance sheet that's more conducive to survival.
Let's leave it there. Peter, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, the CEO of Anchor Capital, Peter Armitage.